Hello, welcome to Football Twaddle. My name is Saru and I have the usual suspects. Baru with me.
What's up, guys?
And Kumar with me.
Hello, guys.
And FA Cup final is Manchester United versus Chelsea. But there's only one story we need to talk about this week. And that is Arsene Wenger leaving Arsenal.
It's a podcast filled with sadness today.
Really?
Yeah.
So wherever you guys, wherever you're sitting, you can like...
And
you
know, anyone who's listening to the podcast... Baru and Kumar are like big Arsenal fans.
You guys should probably grab a tissue.
Already, man, really. You know what? I still need some time to get over this whole thing. 22 years. I've been sad this entire week. So sad. Like, people have been looking at me walking on the street randomly and they're like, "Arey bhai saab, do you want like a drink or something?"
Yeah, so the thing is that, you know,
the announcement was made on Friday, so which, what all week are you
talking? That is the thing, right? Wenger, he's so, you know, he's got everyone's best interest at heart that he did it on a Friday evening because he knew at least the pubs are going to get some good business now, right? If it's on Monday morning, then it's not going to happen. Then you have just your sub office mein baith ke productivity bhi kam ho jata,
exactly,
right?
And like always looking up, like thinking about business. Wenger is a proper
businessman.
Yeah. No, and even that, you know, although I've been Wenger out for quite a while, but again the news took me by shock also because nobody was expecting it. Although everyone knew that it was probably time for him to go. It's been like time for him to go for 2 years now.
But no, there have been reports that he would probably quit even if they win Europa League by the end of the season.
I think it just took everyone by surprise. That's it.
Yeah, because there was this whole thing about, you know, Wenger always seeing his contracts through.
Yeah.
And he had one more year left on his contract. And everyone just felt that Wenger's way too big, you know, a figure within the Arsenal construct
for the club to sack him.
Sack him. And yeah, so turns out that is what has happened.
Yeah, if you actually look at the Gazidis press conference, he actually deflected almost every question on how the conversation went. And... so, I mean...
at least one of us four people, including Wenger, is like 11 million pounds richer.
Yeah.
So, at least someone's happy.
He's not. He clearly is not
very
happy.
But his money, guys, come on. Money brings happiness.
No, he would probably put
11 million pounds.
That would buy you like what? One leg of...
11 million hot dogs in New York.
one leg for Chamberlain, like in today's market.
Oh man.
And that also the weak foot, not the...
See, when we
not
said
his right foot.
When we said that we are going to rip into Wenger's decisions, this is not what we meant. It's taking us too literally, man.
All right. So my everlasting memory of Mr. Arsene Wenger is when they lost to Chelsea 2-1 in the Champions League quarterfinal. Do you remember that night?
So after 2005, right?
Yeah.
Because as a Chelsea fan,
it was not after 2005. It was 2003-04 season. It was against under Ranieri.
Oh yeah. Oh shit. I thought about that all English semi-final.
No.
That was Liverpool. Oh man.
the last minute goal after Walcott had equalized.
Walcott didn't equalize. Walcott assisted to Adebayor after dipping through.
So many memories.
I'll tell you why I remember that so much, because that was the invincible season as well. And we thought that, I mean, that season Arsenal should have won the Champions League by any, all the big teams had gone out and there was just like, I don't know, Chelsea, Monaco, Porto, and everyone thought Arsenal was going to win. And that game at Highbury, 2-1 when Chelsea won, I was like, okay.
I remember, so I started following Arsenal like after the French World Cup. And I was in Nigeria at that point. So I think half of the country already was an Arsenal fan. And then Kanu joined later. And then the complete country became an Arsenal
fan. Yeah, that's the thing. So there's been a huge, you know, African influence that Wenger brought in. So I think still Arsenal is the highest supported team in Africa.
Probably, yeah. And Chelsea's probably a close second, or they've become first now.
Yeah. No, because Wenger brought in players from 17 different African countries to play for the club.
Really?
Yeah, I read it somewhere.
Yeah, it's 17 now, right? With Aubameyang, who just
The recent addition.
I mean, again, Gabon has one player and we got him.
Exactly.
Beat that.
Same with Armenia.
The number of players Arsene Wenger got then was amazing. Like the good ones.
That is what built his legacy. I think Vieira was his first signing. You know, joined in 96, right when Wenger joined. And totally transformed the team. You know, when we go back to that time, so again, I started following football in, 98-99 after the World Cup as well. But, I've been following Arsenal since then. And so, 96 was a time when Bruce Rioch was the manager. Arsenal were not doing very well. there were a couple of incidences with Bruce Rioch over, I think, some transfer fees with an agent or something.
That was Graham. Bruce Rioch, he just didn't fit into the whole club setting.
And then, and also, this was a time where, you know, when you look at the Premier League right now, it's a totally different market where, you know, money, foreign players, foreign managers, everything is there. Back in the time, there was just one foreign manager before Arsene Wenger in the entire league. There was just some guy who had joined Aston Villa, almost got them relegated and was sacked. Let's call him some guy. Yeah, and then after that, Arsene Wenger coming in from Japan, it was a big move by the club as well to getting someone unknown.
Yeah,
there were apparently rumors of Cruyff joining as the manager at that time also.
Okay, so I didn't know that.
And then, he changed the game, which is what Wenger's legacy is built on.
What do you think Wenger changed the most in Arsenal compared to what was there before? When they're known as boring Arsenal for some point.
Yeah, so that was George Graham's time when he had the whole park the bus thing. And that was the score whole, one goal through the right.
1-0 to the Arsenal was.
And then, yeah.
Was the chant of the fans, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that was like an ironical chant that, all these opposition sides that got boring Arsenal, but then the fans themselves adopted it. They're like, yeah, this is us. Like, maar lo, kya kar loge? Because they still like won a UEFA Cup and a cup win, sorry, a cup winners cup and everything and at that point.
Yeah.
But coming back to that question, I think the biggest thing, not for Arsenal, rather for the league that Wenger got in for English football, rather, is the whole science, football science, sports science. Into
nutrition.
And this is something that we've said over and over
again. And again, so this is what differentiated him. And this has also been his downfall because after a point of time, everyone adopted it.
Yeah, it's so very hard to tell. It's very easy to tell people to not eat French fries, I'm assuming.
No, it's not just French fries.
It was Coke also.
Tony Adams was an alcoholic. Like he took rehab and
everything. Did you say certified alcoholic? where do you get the certification from?
I'm checking.
FSSAI.
But yeah, so there was the whole culture of, you know, a beer before the game, sausages, pork pies, all of that. So
shepherd pies.
Same thing.
But yeah, so, I mean, there was Tony Adams, then you had your Merson, and these guys were big, big, you know, alcoholics. Tony Adams actually had this one game where he was drinking, like, until a few hours before the game. And he's, you know, drunk as oops. And he goes on, I think it was against Middlesbrough or someone.
And
he puts in a man of the match performance.
Didn't he?
Hi.
Yeah. That shows how great.
The Arsenal of that era. And then Wenger comes in with his spectacles. No offense, Kumar. he comes in with his whole professor look. And this was the English game at that point.
Exactly.
When everyone, you know, England was so protective about it. This is English football and English football culture. We've got all of this, you know, going for us. Which actually went on until the Euros last year.
The whole professor
when Russia
thing
actually put them back into the place.
The whole professor thing was, Tony Adams was one of the first ones to say that. You know, he looks like a school teacher. What does he know about football? Even when you talk about, you know, Wenger's everlasting legacy, Ferguson has to come into the picture. The whole rivalry he had for the first at least 6-7 years of his reign.
Yeah.
Ferguson, when Wenger joined again, he had some quotes out, something like, you know, he's untested in the English market, just come from Japan.
This was in 96.
This was in 96, what does he know about football?
And clearly, he seemed to know a lot. But wasn't then, I mean, if you look at football or English football, then they were like these two big strikers all the time. And like, you play a 4-4-2.
Yeah.
And Wenger with Bergkamp, obviously, changed like a lot of things on how football is played and how you can win football games.
Yeah, there's a reason like Mourinho's football is called parking the bus.
No, it's not.
But Wenger's football is actually, he's given his name to that brand, it's Wenger Ball. Because this is what he's done. Yeah.
But again, so he did not just come in and, you know, that happened eventually when he brought in all of your technical skilled players. But again, the first 4-5 years of his reign, his club was built on, you know, the base given by George Graham and Bruce Rioch. So, you know, Martin Keown was there, Tony Adams was there, Steve Bould were there.
Even Ray Parlour was there.
Yeah, defensively we were very strong.
Attack, we had Ian Wright.
Yeah, and then he brought in Patrick Vieira, who was one of the best midfielders who's played in the game. You don't get those mold of players anymore. I think Pogba is a very, very fake.
We almost got Abu Dhabi, but mold wahi tha. Material
just the injuries and all. But again, so it was a very strong team. It's not like, and then when you look at Wenger's teams after 2005 and 2006, so you had a midfield of Danielson and Leb and Fabregas. very technically gifted players, but again,
very soft.
Very soft. And then that is how Wenger got played out of the game when everyone went into the whole, you know, physical football. You just attack Arsenal, you just bully Arsenal, and they'll just lose.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't. It wasn't like a new tactic that came in. Teams in English football already is always like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But at least back then, Arsenal had that muscle to give it back. We had Martin Keown.
And we had Sol Campbell. We had...
Dude. I mean, now that you think of it, the amount of players who were...
Gilberto Silva, everyone.
Who were physical and who could bully almost anyone on the field.
I mean, there was one person who could like step up and face Roy Keane.
It's Vieira.
And...
and talking,
and then when you talk about bullying, that one incident is Martin Keown and Ruud van Nistelrooy. That is my top Wenger moment, to be honest.
That is your top Wenger moment top Martin Keown moment?
No, it happened under Wenger's reign, so it is a Wenger moment for me.
All right, so I mean, talk of Arsene Wenger, and we have to talk about the Invincibles. The thing which people assumed it's easy for Pep Guardiola's team to do, and clearly it wasn't.
And it was supposed to be easy for Mourinho last season.
Last season?
No, Chelsea was supposedly on an invincible run.
Chelsea in 2004 and 5 lost one game against Manchester City, but that's when
anytime a team goes like 10 games, the first 10 games of the season undefeated.
I don't know, why do you have to bring in Mourinho? Why can't you talk about the invincible season? Mourinho is already a better manager.
No, so we are giving you examples of where people have come up and said that, you know, invincibles, anyone can do it. But no,
yeah,
you can't.
Who said it? Other than
you
I...
You said it like just...
Other than people talking about Pep Guardiola's season right now, no one said anything.
No, it has been said before also. It's been said for Chelsea recently in the last 3-4 years.
No, it's not.
Yes, it has.
You have selective hearing.
Sure.
Okay,
you mean real hearing. So while Kumar Kanav searches for those imaginary quotes, Baru, invincible season. What do you want to talk about them? They're like so amazing. Will that ever be broken?
See, it's really, really hard to get your head around that idea of, you know, you can draw points throughout the season.
Yes.
But not losing a single game. I remember Kumar, he spoke about this a couple of weeks back. And I absolutely agree with him. Anyone can, you know, win probably like 37 games in a season. Probably.
But
the 38th game, the pressure, man. It was something out of this world.
Yeah, it was. And it's, okay, probably, you know, when you say Juventus has done it, Celtic has done it. But that point of time, so Scottish League, you can anyways, like...
Why are we talking about Scottish?
Colo Torre has done it twice.
Yeah, Colo Torre has done it twice with Arsenal.
But why
are
we talking about Scottish League?
No, because Celtic has done an invincible season.
Yeah, but...
But it's not the same.
Yes, that's exactly the point, right?
Yeah, so doing it in...
Okay, fine. As an outsider, what is like your whole thing about... You think the Invincibles was just another season, right?
No way. I actually thought it was... Dude, that was the time I thought Arsenal were like... You know how people thought of Barcelona after 4-5 years that no one can ever beat these guys? I thought Arsenal was that. There was no way on earth. I was like, how is this team built? Like, you see Vieira, you see Henry, sidestep one, sidestep two. You still have flashes of all those moments.
Yeah.
That was like...
But just a season back, we were on a, what, 14-game winning streak. So, isn't that...
A 14-game winning streak and a 38-game...
That's
49 games.
49, but 49 finished with 38 plus 12, right? They lost to Man U.
Yeah.
When Rooney scored, I think. Exactly. So, but that team was... I think that is probably still the benchmark team in terms of any sort of league performance in England.
Yeah, because City definitely started off really well this season, but... We see how that has turned out.
Yeah. I mean, having to talk about Arsene Wenger, it is like you have to talk about the two halves. The one till the invincible season and the one after.
Since
invincible season.
No, again, the since also can be, you know, segregated into two halves. Now, so this is like 2006 to 2012 when the whole
stadium
rebuilding and the stadium move thing was happening. And after that, so again, you know, he redeemed himself a little by winning those three FA Cups. The last...
a little.
Yeah. No, but yeah. So, when you talk about Wenger, 22 years, 3 titles. All 3 of them were before 2004.
Yeah.
In the league. So, a multitude of things happened, you know...
And 2 were doubles.
Yeah. This first season, he won a double.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what happened was, you know, multitude of things happened. First of all, the stadium move affected the whole buying capacity. At a time when, you know, money came into the league with Chelsea and Roman, you know, and then later on City. United were always going to outspend everyone. Yes. But then, instead of it being a two-horse race, it became a whole... The top four whole thing came into the picture.
Look, I think everyone by now understands that, you know, the stadium move. But after 2012, if look at the last 6 years...
Yeah, but you look at the team also that he had and in 2004 and compared to the team he had in 2010. So you have, you know, Chamax and your Squilachis. How do you compare them to Sol Campbell or Henry?
Of those teams in that era, in that second part of his Arsenal career, was the 2007-2008 Arsenal side, which was I think the season after Henry left.
Okay, they came quite close to.
They were leading the league, or they were second and very close to the top,
and then
until Eduardo broke his leg. And then the season just crumbled from there. We were winning the league right there. And that was in classic Arsenal fashion. We bottled the league from there. And it just shows you that even with all these constraints that Wenger had, he still managed to, you know, reach that stage where we were still constantly challenging for the title.
Yeah.
So, it's not like Arsenal was, you know, a mid-table side or, you know, we weren't even buying.
And, you know... So everyone ridiculed Arsene Wenger for the fact that, you know, he made top four into a trophy at that point of time. But look at the past 3 years. Your Chelsea's, your United's, your Liverpool's are all fighting for the top four spot right now.
Yes, but Chelsea also won the league, so...
And almost got relegated the next year. Until and unless you press the emergency button.
And they won the league the year after. So, I don't know what are you talking about.
Bringing that consistency in performances.
Brilliant.
You know... Getting consecutive Champions League fixes for like qualifying for Champions League for 20 years in a row, it is no mean feat.
It is not. Then why were you Wenger out then?
No, because see, the problem was not that we were getting results. The problem was that he was keeping on. He kept on doing the same things over and over again. When everyone could see that those things were not working. So his resistance to change is what turned Arsenal fans.
Him doing the same things over and over again, won 3 FA Cups in the last 4 years. And if you look at Liverpool or Spurs or anyone, they would do anything to get a trophy back. So
if Arsene Wenger did not have the first 6 years of his career, he would be considered a huge success for, you know, getting those 3 FA Cups in 4 years because none of the others are able to do it. But his whole legacy that he built turned out to be his... whatever you call it.
The benchmark itself was set. First season a double, 2 seasons later another double. Season after that, the Invincibles. And then Champions League final. One League Cup final and then nothing.
So there's like too much inconsistency within the performances. And then...
But couldn't you argue that after 2012, once he could start spending money, he has won 3 FA Cups. So... Why would the fans try and drive him out of the club?
I'll talk about the season before last when Leicester won. That was the season. So the season before he had already bought in. So Ozil was there. Sanchez was there in the team.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone knew that we needed a striker and center midfield. Which is, you ask any Arsenal fan for the past 10 years, we've been needing that since especially since Fabregas left. There's no one. Santi has been very injury prone. Then that was the time when he could have strengthened this team. So obviously, you know, you can always say that, you know, once whatever foresight is...
Hindsight is 2020.
Yeah, sorry. But the fact is that that season, if you had added to the...
Foresight is also 2020.
Probably.
Okay, Oracle.
Yeah, so if he had added to the squad, and he obviously could have. He didn't. He just signed no outfield players and only Peter Cech.
Yes.
What happened that season? City, Liverpool, Spurs, United, Chelsea, all of them had horrible seasons. If he had sent in this team with just one or two players, could have won a title.
That's true. Anyway, talking of the players and everything, Arsene Wenger bought in some amazing players. Definitely. Especially in the first 10 years.
No, even now.
But who are the... Who are the 5 best signings of Wenger?
See, well, I think Giroud has to be the most beautiful player Arsenal's ever bought.
Oh, I would disagree. I would disagree on that. Bobby Perez.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait. Hmm. Who are the best signings of Arsene Wenger? Not the most beautiful signings.
Well, Vieira, obviously. I don't think we can count Bergam because he was there before.
Yeah, he was there before him.
Vieira, Henry...
Sol Campbell.
Oh, man.
Sol Campbell.
Yeah, Sol Campbell.
That was a big coup.
Then, I mean, who else? I think...
That's it? 3?
No.
Fabregas.
Anelka from a financial angle, that guy probably paid for our, he paid for our stadium.
Yeah, like half of it.
Do you have a player who's paid for your stadium?
We will soon. Eden Hazard.
Oh man.
He will pay for the entire stadium.
Anyway, Anelka aside, I'm not counting him. We had Fabregas. We had Van Persie. Okay, fine.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
But Fabregas has to be one of the top, you know, midfielders in the game.
Yeah.
It's sad the way he's developed since.
Yeah, not right. For the past 3 years, he's been underperforming. But yeah, before that, he was really good.
Oh, I'm sure.
Cazorla, as you know, Cazorla is one of the best players EPL has ever seen. It's a pity. It's such a... It's a pity that he's been this injured.
So, you know, all the accolades that David Silva has been getting now, Cazorla is a player in a very similar mold.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably better than Silva at his peak.
Silva is probably, until last season, was one of those players in the City side who actually I really respected and loved.
Yeah. Now you don't?
Now there's so many others.
No,
there's KDB also, but I still love the way that whole demeanor.
But again, yeah, so it's your Silvas, your Cazorlas, your Matas, the player who play under the radar because they're not that flashy.
Yeah.
So they'll never come into the consideration of a KDB or a Sané, for example, or a Sterling, but they're the ones I'm not talking about Ronaldo and Messi, different league. But these are the actual players who, who make you tick.
So, anyway, are we done? Is it?
We've done more than five. So, what
do you think? Like, I mean,
As an outsider, we need your perspective also.
I always thought Bergkamp was an Arsene Wenger signing, but
he
seemed
very
like
close.
Yeah, he seemed
signed,
like one
signed by Bruce Rioch. Yeah.
Who are my favorite Arsene Wenger signings?
Yeah,
Pires.
I love that player.
And Henri, Vieira, Ozil, and Robin van Persie.
Almost similar.
Okay, that's interesting.
And Ashley Cole is not a signing,
not
right?
A signing.
So
he's from the youth team.
And then there's
intern.
And then there's Sol Campbell. Of course, there's Sol Campbell.
But so, it's amazing, man. I mean, Wenger. It's wrong to say that, but I mean, as Arsenal fans, but initially we really thought that how can anyone like hate Wenger or something? But then,
as you can see now, and
that's
basically the question I'm coming to right now. If you see the match after he announced that he was leaving Arsenal after 22 years, the match against West Ham, mm-hmm. the stadium was like, yeah, whatever. There was not like, you know, this whole big outpouring of love till like Arsenal started leading 3-1. Yeah, after
no,
that.
No, it was there. No,
they were singing
also,
one Arsene Wenger throughout and everyone's...
If you've seen the past 3-4 matches, the stadium was half empty. So for West Ham, everyone turned up. Yeah, so that's the thing. Yeah.
There were no empty seats.
There were a lot of people, including me, who were Wenger out, you know, for a year and a half now. But again, till the end of the season, nothing but respect for the fellow man.
All right. So, what a...
This is a sentiment echoed by, majority of Arsenal fans.
If anyone has to, like, list out the biggest achievements of Wenger and for Arsenal... I mean, think of it, how bad it was when I started, like, following football. I thought Arsene Wenger is...
So, what is this like?
Arsene Wenger manages Arsenal. I was like, ye toh ho gai. This definitely how it is. Then I saw...
It's scripted.
I'm like, but Ferguson manages Manchester United. There's something not working. Then I thought Arsene Wenger owned Arsenal. And given that nothing ever happened to him, I actually thought he owns Arsenal Football Club.
Founded the club. But yeah, I think that is something that everyone, at least in our generation, who started watching football, and they saw Arsene at Arsenal. It's his club, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what they thought. And then I read a book. And that ruined it for me.
Man.
These books.
Classic book behavior.
So if you have to talk about Wenger's greatest moments for Arsenal, what would they be? What's his biggest...
Winning the league at White Hart Lane is obviously...
Really? That is his greatest thing, achievement at Arsenal?
No, we are starting from number 2 because the Invincibles is obviously one.
Okay. And number 2 is what? Winning the league at White Hart Lane?
Winning the league at Old Trafford?
Yeah, and that... But White Hart Lane, because of the whole...
Not
rivalry.
Beating Inter Milan 5-1.
Oh, man.
Wasn't that...
Let's just focus on the big ones, man.
Oh. I actually think they could have won the Champions League final not for the red card. So, that's about... Where's Wenger going to go next?
The French Riviera or something.
If you actually see
so he's
his...
going to Russia first.
Yeah, if you actually see his press conference quotes after the match, he said, I'm not tired. He basically said that... He's being forced out and he may as well. So, do you think he's going to start managing He'll probably take
yeah, but he said that, right? He said that I really need to be in the day to day functioning of a club, so I don't think.
But I don't think he'll manage in England again. Probably out of.
And what's the way forward for Arsenal? Who should they be looking for as manager? I know who I would like.
Luis Enrique.
No, I think you should, guys should
Patrick
go for
Vieira.
No, dude. Can I say my
Arteta?
I think Jardim or Paulo Fonseca of Shakhtar Donetsk. I think those two would do really good at Arsenal. You guys need to be bold.
Yeah, we were bold when you brought Wenger in.
So you need to be as bold even right now. What's Allegri going to do?
Let's just, you know what, get Santosh Kashyap or something. Get done with this whole discussion.
I'm talking about bold, not stupid. Among all this Arsene Wenger exit talk or leaving Arsenal, we forgot that there were two semi-finals during the weekend.
Inconsequential.
Sorry? Inconsequential for who?
Everyone.
No. Are you watching the Chinese Super League now?
No, I'm not. Can we talk about FA Cup semi-final? And you guys would be particularly interested because of...
Yeah, I mean...
The winners of those games was Arsene Wenger's creations again.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously very evident experience over there. We know what we are doing.
Oh,
and you know Giroud's record, right? 26 FA Cup games, 15 goals.
Yeah, Wembley is his home.
Yeah.
But this is what I didn't understand. So when Man U were playing, and all the commentators were like, Sanchez loves Wembley.
Yeah.
And then next day, Giroud scores, Giroud loves Wembley.
Yeah,
why?
Because they had incredible scoring records at Wembley and in the FA Cup as well.
And it's funny how the one team who actually call Wembley their home. It's
not
working for them.
Could not perform at all.
Yeah, come on, let's shit on Tottenham Hotspur right now. The game was there to be won.
Tottenham on Tottenham? How does that work?
I don't know.
What are you going on about?
Inside Arsenal fan joke.
So the game was to be won for Spurs. They were leading. Oh, they were playing so well for 20 minutes. Yeah. And then Man U decided.
Obviously, you know.
Why doesn't Man U just start every game 1-0 down? They probably seem to be playing better after that.
It's hard to be 1-0 down. No?
Just give it. Just play. Okay. Like, yes.
Because first minute, like, huh.
But David is going to end up saving it anyway.
Yeah,
even if they try.
It's very difficult to score past him, even if the team is like,
dude,
fine,
but
come.
That, the thing about that match was that last half an hour, Spurs did not even have one shot. Like, forget even saving.
I think Spurs is like the little definition of a one-man team. If Harry Kane is in form, everything else works, or like just clicks in place.
That's just so sad. They have so many other good players.
Yeah, I mean, usually when Kane is not in the team at all, then Son steps up and everyone else. But if he's in the team and he's not in form.
But this is the one big difference between probably Pochettino and Mourinho. Pochettino played down the FA Cup, saying that, oh, it's a process, it's not. Mourinho plays like every tournament he plays like it's his...
Yeah, it's
like
a trophy. I think year before when... United won the FA Cup.
Yeah.
They counted the Community Shield also as a trophy.
Dude, I actually didn't even know Community Shield was ever considered a cup
tournament
until Mourinho started counting
them. But then I think that is the winning mentality which Pochettino doesn't have. Pochettino always stresses upon, you know,
process.
Champions League and Champions League qualification.
Yes.
You know, everyone's following the Wenger mold now.
And so Manchester United now suddenly have a final to play and they'll probably
against
end up
some
second.
Small team, right?
Yeah.
Against
from West London.
Yeah,
Fulham. Some team in Fulham.
Talking about Fulham, you know where Manchester United trained for 4 days before beating Spurs?
Craven Cottage.
Fulham.
Oh. I did not see that coming.
I would have guessed Mira Road.
Mira Road.
Why do you keep guessing
even,
Mira Road?
That's what happened, right? Even in City's match against Liverpool, City were training at Everton, at Goodison Park.
Yeah, it brings out the best in them, I guess.
Yeah, no.
And yesterday, the beautiful creature, that is Giroud. He scores.
Finally, Chelsea fans are recognizing.
Goal, man. Beautiful goal by a beautiful man.
The spatial awareness that he had, like which Southampton player is falling where. Because they obviously were not walking around.
Yeah,
or, like,
I think he learned from Ozil. Ozil.
But that was amazing. That was such a... cool goal.
And he almost well-begged it in the end though.
Yeah, I saw that.
almost shinned it out.
Oh man.
But Giroud has been a good signing for Chelsea now, the last league game.
Yeah, much better than your £80 million striker.
He also scored a goal. He's coming back to form. As soon as he scored the goal, his hair was more set, the gel was working. Till then, it just looked so bad. But now we have Man U versus Chelsea final. What's going to happen there? Chelsea or Manchester
United. I want Chelsea to win.
Yeah, even I want Chelsea to win. Yeah. But
I want Giroud to win.
I don't want Mourinho to win another trophy.
Oh, the gloating that will start.
But
if he wins.
Mourinho actually came out with a statement that they'll kill me if I don't.
I actually didn't read it. It came out sometime today.
I just read the headline.
Yeah,
it's Mourinho.
I know, but I didn't even read it because after the game he said that, you know, that yeah, it's fine, we're in the final, whatever. So that's it. Should we even talk about the league? It's so inconsequential. City's won the league. Yeah. The relegation's almost decided.
We should
be
talking about the league, but the Europa League.
Yeah.
Because we've got a big match coming up, man.
So Arsenal versus Atletico. Oh, here's a question. If Arsenal lose to Atletico in the semi-final, how will the reception to Wenger be or the farewell to Wenger be
No,
then?
I think now it's more or less done. So Wenger is out now.
Yeah, what do you say now? Wenger out?
Now actual questions will come to the board. So now this is where Gazidis has to be strong, you know. Because the past couple of years, everyone, you know, when you talk about the players or, you know, the board, they've hidden behind Wenger. Because Wenger drew all the attention with the Wenger out protest. Now Wenger is already out. Who do you blame next?
I know. Anyway, but please go on. But
yeah, I mean, I was reading this article where it showed that Wenger out was actually a much long, drawn out decision. And all these new figures at the club, right?
Sven,
our new scouting.
Mislintat.
Yeah, a scouting head, you know,
and
physically,
Selinary.
Whatever, and all these people. They actually used to have meetings with Josh.
Josh, name, really?
Cronky.
You're
yeah.
on a first name basis with him, with Josh.
Yeah, so these guys actually used to have their team meetings and all without Wenger. Yeah. You know, discussing the club's future or whatever club's day-to-day working. And they'd actually started pushing Wenger out like this.
Yeah.
And then Wenger walks in before the West Ham match and he tells the staff, he's like, so I am leaving and it is over for me and let us move on with the Monday.
I know, that was like, but it
yeah,
is...
Yeah, that was an audio clip we got from Wenger.
I swear. Yeah. But it is an end of an era. I don't think there'll ever be a manager who will manage a club.
No, not going to happen ever
End
again.
Of the era, end of this podcast episode. Thank you, Saru Bhaiya.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kumar.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you, Arsene Wenger.
And
merci, Arsene.
You guys can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @footytwaddle. You can follow us on Facebook. Just... search for our name, Football Twaddle. And thank you guys for listening. You can tune in next week. We'll be right here with some more Football Twaddle. Thank you.
Bye.